Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, without question, all together now. I'm talking to you in Mifflinburg, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We have had, by the way, we thank you for the great reaction to yesterday's show, our high school football roundtable. I thought Justin Michaels, Kevin Herr, Todd Hummel were not just outstanding guests, but enlightening guests. And I hope it gave everyone some food for thought from the people that are around it every single day. But the reaction we've had to it's been tremendous, Sean.
Podcast numbers have been up as well this week. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, there's only one person at the station cares about that.
And on the other end of the building, yeah.
And he was on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? We were noticing, like, when Todd spoke, right, there was a peak. When Justin spoke, there was a peak. Then there was this plateauing, and then we finally matched it up as to what part. Well, that's a different thing. All right, so.
Wow. I had no clue you could hone in that close, second by second.
We have to. That way, when it comes time to give those long speeches, we can tell them, no, the streaming numbers go down. When you talk, they dip. It's bad.
We have the technology.
Now, even if we don't, we can fake him out.
We're good at that, too.
It's what we do, brother. It's what we do. All right. It would be very easy for me to get into Penn State and Georgetown after the outstanding performance by Penn State last night, but can't do that with the Myles Garrett situation. Garrett has been suspended indefinitely by the NFL. Pouncey gets 3 games. Now, Pouncey should get 3 games. But if I'm in that locker room, he's got my respect. What he did, I'll tell you where Pouncey really crossed the line, though, why he got the 3 games. He kicked him. You can't do that. And look, we can all sit there and look at it and say, yeah, look, he's defending his teammate, which he was. And his teammate, by the way, needed defending. Now, did Mason Rudolph, at least in this situation, start it? Yes. He grabbed Garrett's helmet on the bottom of the pile. But did Garrett go way beyond the line? Yes. Did the official not throw the flag for roughing the quarterback, roughing the passer? Should have. He took 2 steps to get to him. You, lifelong Steeler fan, probably want Garrett convicted of something.
Oh, no, not at all. I think if you get the courts in on this, then it gets really, really messy. When you're mixing courts and sports, that's, I don't know if I want to see it go down that road, but.
No, it won't.
Yeah, even though you hear Mason Rudolph's agent not ruling out any legal options, but I think they just got to. Yeah, I'm glad the NFL finally woke up and did something about it. I was kind of wondering if they would kind of wait till tonight and, like, bury it, after 5 p.m. on a Friday. But yeah, they stepped forward less than 24 hours after the fact. But I was surprised Pouncey got 3. I thought he would have got 1.
I would have thought he got 1.
I was thinking 1 and a fine.
He kicked him. Yeah. He kicked him. He had to get 3. I mean, seriously. It's not the fact that he punched him. The fact he kicked him. Okay? You have to give him 3 because he did that.
I'm hoping with the Myles Garrett suspension that it's without pay. I'm hoping. I've only seen suspended indefinitely. I haven't heard anything monetary that's connected to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on that. I think that's worthless if there's no monetary fine or if your paychecks are taken away from you. I think that makes a bigger statement, from Roger Goodell out to the rest of the league that's not going to be ever tolerated.
But can he? Kenny, I don't know what the NFLPA stance is on something like that. You get to remember there are rules here that's negotiated between the two sides.
You know what would have been interesting last night in the locker room after the game if there would have been a random drug test conducted? Because that had border roid rage to me. I don't know how you felt about it, but I'm thinking, okay.
Well, I didn't see it till this morning.
I'm thinking, okay, something snapped somewhere in order for him to do that. I mean, if that was just spur the moment emotion, or if something was going on there, who knows?
I don't know. It was, again, Pouncey deserved 3 games. Kick them. Can't do that.
I am disappointed in Mike Tomlin on one thing. He did have the right in his post-game press conference to talk about it or not talk about it. He chose not to, but I would have loved to have heard him defend his quarterback, and he did not do that.
All right. Yeah, he did not.
I think he was probably concerned that if he would have expounded on it a little bit, that he could have got hit with a fine. Maybe he was just thought of that in the back of his head, or maybe it was just something that he had never seen before, and he was just still trying to comprehend it as the presser was going on. Who knows what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
let's see what he says on Monday.
Yeah,
and find out on Monday. He may have a different view, different feel. But. Everybody will tell you that's around Cleveland that Myles Garrett, now this is all wiped out in one moment, is allegedly a good guy. He'll be at line in the Starbucks. He'll buy everybody in the Starbucks drinks. That kind of guy. But he absolutely... And what bothers me about this, there's several elements that bother me. One is he's on the winning team. They just picked up a significant win... for the second straight week, and you would think that the heck with it, I'm happy.
And no one's talking about the win.
No. Although it does count in the standings.
I mean, Garrett could have a stellar, keep his nose clean the rest of his career, but this is going to stay with him.
No question.
This will be part, it's like a tattoo. I mean, you can do anything to get rid of the tattoo, but it's going to be there.
Yep, rest of his career. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
He faked the pitch. He took it home himself, and the Nittany Lions have a 2-score lead.
Penn State football is sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Shade Mountain Winery, WNL Subaru, Turbinville National Bank, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. The Nittany Lions take on Indiana Saturday in Beaver Stadium on Military Appreciation Day. Kickoff is noon. We're on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Penn State, Indiana, less than 24 hours away here on WKOK. Got a 10:30 airtime tomorrow morning, the tailgate show outside the Jordan Center ticket office with Steve, Jack, Matt and Roger, and kickoff just after 12 here on WKOK. Of course, next week we'll also have a 12 noon kick with Penn State at Ohio State, and fingers crossed sometime early next week. Hopefully Monday we'll get the kickoff time for Rutgers at Penn State to finish the regular season for Penn State football. Last night, Penn State, great win against Georgetown. Keep that rolling next week. The Nittany Lions next up will be taking on Bucknell in hoops. Get that covered here on Sunbury Broadcasting. Bucknell over on Eagle 107. And, of course, we'll have the 6:30 tip time with the Nittany Lions call here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So we're looking forward to what we have coming up here later on the show. We're going to have a special, we're going to have another round, two roundtables in 2 days. We have a special Voices of Penn State roundtable with Steve. Also, we'll have Brian Tripp, the voice of Penn State men's ice hockey, as well as Jeff Ironhead Byers, the voice of Penn State wrestling, and Justin Antwill, who's the new voice of Penn State Lady Lion basketball. So we will get into the ins and outs of their broadcasting, their preparation, you know, what inspired them to get into the business for sports broadcasting. So we look forward to hearing all four of them share their broadcasting acumen with us. So for radio guys and sports geeks like me, this will be a lot of fun. It'll be a great listen. And then we will wrap up the show with our weekly picks. We'll have Kevin Jones, Steve's brother. He will check in from Connecticut to wrap up the week with us. Actually, Kevin and Steve are tied. Yeah, they're hanging in the penthouse, 49-31. I'm four behind at 45-35 as we head into week 13 of our picks, which will be Georgia at Auburn, Minnesota at Iowa. So Minnesota winning their Super Bowl last weekend. See if they can keep it rolling in Iowa City. Oklahoma at undefeated Baylor. Navy Notre Dame, they continue their series. They will play tomorrow. And then our three pro games that we will pick will be the Colts at Jacksonville. I hear Jacoby Brissett will be back in at starting quarterback for Indy. Texans at the Ravens and Chiefs Chargers. That'll be the Monday night game, which will be played in Mexico City. And you'll be able to hear that as well here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your home for the NFL and for the Super Bowl. So we mentioned a little bit ago about possibility of Mason's...
Your guy, Garrett. He's your guy now.
Oh, where'd you get that from?
T.S.? The suit?
Oh.
He's now become a big fan. Okay, he rips his helmet off. Now, you're talking about a guy that's already had a concussion. A bad one.
Not long ago.
Mason Rudolph. Yeah. I'll say this. He seemed to come out of it pretty well. The Mike Kruzek of the 2000s.
That was a body bag game last night. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm kind of wondering if they rushed James Conner back into the lineup. He sure didn't last long. Juju concussion. Deontay Johnson concussion. Artie Burns went out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it was, but.
Actually, the moves they had to make yesterday when they put Ryan Switzer and Rosie Nix on IR, the two guys that they brought up to the starting 53, they got significant action last night in the game.
Right. Well, they had no choice. They had to play them.
Yeah.
So it's an indefinite ban. I believe Rudolph got fined, right?
I have not seen anything on that.
I think he got fined for his role in it.
Now, both teams were fined $250,000.
Yeah, that'll make a dent. So Pouncey gets a 3-game ban. Look, he kicked him. If I'm a teammate, I'm like, hey, I got it. So I understand that part. You thought it should have been a game.
I would have thought a game and a fine. I would have thought both.
He kicked them. Can't kick them. That's, look, I completely understand his emotion about his quarterback being what happened to him. I got it. All right? It doesn't mean you can't be suspended. Right? And the problem is when he wheeled around full force and kicked him. That's a big problem.
You know, there's a lot to. There's a many to blame in that situation. You just got to keep your emotions in check.
I'm not blaming Pouncey.
Oh no. I'm just saying, in those situations, everyone's just got to keep their emotions in check so nothing like that even blows up in the first place.
I'm only explaining why he probably did deserve to get three games, just for the action of it. It's the action of it that caused the three games. That's what it is. Yeah. Freddie Kitchen says he understands the magnitude of what occurred last night. Very remorseful. He did apologize, by the way, to Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Garrett released a statement, or the Browns released a statement a couple of hours ago that Garrett apologized to Mason and his teammates. And I will say this about Baker Mayfield.
Says Rudolph is bracing for a potential fine.
Okay. I will say this about Baker Mayfield. I mean, we're really not the biggest fans of his here on the show. But I will give him credit for when he did the post-game interview last night on Fox and NFL Network with Aaron Andrews. I mean, he did say the right things. I mean, what he did was wrong. It's reprehensible. Yeah. What he did is a detriment to our team, and you know, we're not going to be as good going forward because he's not going to be out there with us.
Right. I mean, he was already fined $50,000 this season for punching Titans tight end Delanie Walker and also for a pair of late hits on Trevor Siemian. And that has probably, it's part of the problem, is there are people that perceive him as somebody who hits late. That is an issue when you are perceived as hitting late. And he has that perception.
Well, Garrett was creating a lot of havoc last night. Al Villanueva had a very tough night on the O-line. I mean, there was at least more than one play I saw where Garrett was just barreling forward and just pushing Al back a good 4 or 5 yards at a pop. And Al's much taller than Garrett is.
Right. Now, remember, Rudolph is the one that grabbed Garrett's helmet first. All right. And Rudolph also kicked him. Then when they stood up, Garrett ripped off Rudolph's helmet and then took the swing. So the sequence is Garrett hits him. I thought it should have been a late hit. I think the official blew it on that play. Rudolph then grabbed Garrett's helmet. Rudolph then kicked him in the lower area. I'll let you leave that to your imagination on that.
Take it from there. Okay.
Yeah?
Yep.
Once they stood up, that's when Garrett ripped off Rudolph's helmet. He took a swing with it. He connected to the top of Rudolph's helmetless head. Once off the ground, Rudolph advanced toward Garrett because he felt he had a bone to pick with him after what he did. That's when, of course, Garrett swung the helmet, which he never should have even considered doing. He should have walked away. Then multiple Steelers got involved. Players left the bench. And December 1st at Heinz Field, we'll be watching. And so will Myles Garrett, because he won't be playing. So I would expect that Myles Garrett's done for the season and that it may go into part of next season.
Hey, you, it's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome to the show. Been talking about the Suits guy, Myles Garrett, for a while. I think it's safe to say that's his guy, right?
I'm not touching that one.
I think he plays the game the way the Suit loves to see it played. You seem to have no opinion.
No opinion on that one. Like Tomlin last night in the presser.
Wow. No opinion.
No opinion.
Okay. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and not every day. And the specials, Coors and Coors Light 30-pack, $17.97. It's now through Tuesday. And Cape Line Strawberry Lemonade. Mm-hmm. 24-pack, $14.95. And led by the barrels and the dills, although Buhner is partial to the garlic,
sure
the
is.
Pickle bar is indeed, Sean,
second to none. Corey sends his best, by the way. He was here yesterday. Told me to tell you hello.
My best to Corey?
Yes. He's got some other great specials he'll have cooked up for right leading into Thanksgiving a couple weeks.
I also like to point out that anytime's a good time to get a Brewers Outlet gift card.
Yeah.
All right. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio on this Friday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yesterday was our high school roundtable. Today, it is the voices of Penn State. Brian Tripp, the play-by-play voice of men's ice hockey and Penn State baseball. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of wrestling. And he's familiar to Bucknell fans, but now becoming familiar to Penn State fans, Justin Antwiel, the play-by-play voice of Lady Lion basketball. And with that, we welcome in Brian Tripp from Minneapolis.
Steve, appreciate you having me. Was looking forward to this for a while. Just wish I could be there at the tavern to have some of that delicious food from the gang as usual. But thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And the longtime outstanding play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And he gets to be introduced last because he's the newest member of the Penn State broadcasting family, the new and outstanding voice of Lady Lion basketball, Justin Antwiel. Welcome.
Steve, thanks so much. It's a privilege to be here. Great crowd on hand. So.
Yeah, we're going to, and they'll be bringing your food shortly. You're good.
That's the only reason why I'm here. Let's be honest.
Believe me, you don't think I use that as a hook to get everybody? That's how we do it. All right, I want to get into, first of all, the respective teams that you're broadcasting for this season and get a read from each of you on the teams. Then we're going to get into what you've done to get to this point. Brian, let's start with you. I know there was a 30-minute meeting after a loss to Alaska Fairbanks. After that, how well has this team played?
Yeah, Steve, I thought they were still trying to find their game when they played Robert Morris the next week, but I think the last four games since Big Ten play started, and maybe it's just because the importance of the games, all of a sudden the switch really has flipped for them. They look really, really good right now. I know they got shut out 2-0 last Friday night against Michigan State, But that was a game that Michigan State's goalie, John Leffman, just stole for the Spartans. I think Penn State, the last four games, they've been looking for consistency and looking for an identity, and they've found it. So I think this is a team that's really dangerous, really, really skilled, definitely the deepest team that they've had. Right now, 77% of their scoring is coming from upperclassmen. They've been through just about every experience they could together. I think this is a team that has a chance to make a run at a Big Ten championship in the Frozen Four. We'll just see how it plays out now if they go on the road for the first time. The first nine games were all at home, but eight of the next ten are on the road.
Jeff, every team is different regardless of what the fan base thinks. Cale Sanderson has brilliantly negotiated that over time along with his staff. What makes this team different to you in watching them wrestle?
It's really this season that is going to be different because of the Olympic year and having so many kids. Yeah. And even for Penn State, this is unusual to have so many kids that are competing in college, also training with an eye toward trying to get on that 2020 Tokyo team. So the schedule's a little different this year. There's no tournament there in mid or late December, as traditionally there is, or even early January. So they basically have over a month off there, which is very atypical, but it really was with an eye toward allowing the freestyle guys that are on this team that opportunity to train and kind of have that dual purpose of trying to win a national title as an individual and team, but also try to earn a spot on the Olympic squad. And with that, I think you're going to see a lot more faces in the lineup this year than what you're accustomed to. I would not be surprised if by the end of the year we have 20 to 22 guys that have represented the program in a dual meet setting, just because they're going to try to pick some spots here to give those freestyle guys a chance to really focus in on what they're trying to do with the Olympic team.
Justin, new coach, new staff, new broadcaster. Working, by the way, with the outstanding Joe Putnam,
absolutely,
we should point out. What's your general impression of what you've seen the first couple of weeks as the building process begins?
Well, you've been around long enough, Steve. You've seen a lot of different teams. The key word is culture. That's the biggest buzzword around this program. And when you have a new staff, that's what it's all about. And there's just this unbridled sense of enthusiasm with this team. It's a young staff. They're so organized. Like the chairs and the benches are all labeled. And that's how organized this staff is. And they already have two wins against teams that made the NCAA tournament last year in Towson and Fordham. So Coach Keeger always says, look, this team's going to be better in March than they are in November, and they've already made so many strides. The athletes are leaner, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, and it's such an up-tempo pace. That's what Coach Keeger likes to do. She did that at Miami. She did that for 5 years at Marquette. She got her 100th career win that coincided with her first win at Towson a week and a half ago. They've already attempted 90 free throws, Steve, in three games. That's top five in the nation. So they push the pace. They have five freshmen, so they're getting their feet wet. I just think it's just a tremendous vibe with this program. It's fun to be the new guy coming in with a new staff, but everybody's a family here. It's a family type atmosphere, and they just signed a great recruiting class that was announced the other day, and I think they might add some more as well. So the seniors are leading, but the freshmen are swimming in the deep end of the pool already, and it's mid-November.
What makes the three of you, I think, so interesting is that you're broadcasting sports that are very important, but not every event's on TV. So you really are, the three of you, the link to the fan bases, especially when they're on the road. And, you're, of course, you're in a situation, Jeff, where everything's sold out. So there are people that can't get in. So how did each one of you get into this? Jeff, I want to start with you, because when I first came to State College, Todd Jeffers would do wrestling on radio.
Yeah.
I grew up in New England. I'd never heard that before. How did you get into it and get into the wrestling broadcasting part of it?
Really goes back to my dad, who was an outstanding high school wrestler, was a state runner-up at State College back in the 50s. And then when I was a toddler, he was an assistant coach down at Penns Valley High School where he taught history. And so when I was a toddler, the big thing to me was Penns Valley, Sugar Valley Wrestling. I mean, are you kidding me? That's the big time, baby. And it really was. I mean, it was a big deal, and I was excited about being able to tag along to those matches. I remember, for some reason, the Penns Valley, Sugar Valley, I don't even think that was the big rivalry or anything like that, but for some reason, those were the kind of matches that stood out to me in those early years. But I loved the sport. I had absolutely no ability whatsoever to compete in it. Tried a couple of years, had some fun with it, but my body just doesn't. I did not inherit dad's genes, more from the mom's side of the family. So just grew up loving the sport, knew I wanted to get into either sports writing or sports broadcasting of some kind from a very young age. And as I went through Penn State and then got involved with WRSC locally, working with, at the time, Jerry Fisher was the sports director there, and he kind of gave me that opportunity. Really, my first year in commercial radio, because he had been asked by WPSX at the time to do the Penn State-Iowa match. So my first dual meet that I'm broadcasting is Penn State-Iowa. Not a bad way to break into the business, but absolutely just loved it. Did grow up listening to some of the high school wrestling around here, and Todd Jeffers for sure, and then actually had the did not remember listening to Mickey Bergstein, but being able to go back and hear some of the matches that he and Fran Fischer did. Really some special stuff there when you talk about the tradition of broadcasting that sport in this area.
Justin, what got you into broadcasting? What made you say, you know what, this is what I'd like to try? Because, you know, Don Fisher's going to be here tomorrow, the voice of Indiana. He's done this for 47 years. 47 years. Yeah, longevity means something. Georgetown's broadcaster. Talked to him last night, 46 years.
Wow.
So what got you into a profession that sometimes can have many twists and turns?
I'm smiling ear to ear, see, my food just arrived. It's all right, I'll let it get cold. No, it's a great question. I love sports. I grew up kind of like Jeff said. You know, I'm not the most athletic person. I'm not 6'5 and a block of muscle. But my dad and I, we grew up going to Yankee games, sitting in the last row in the Bronx. And we've always just been big fans. And I think, to me, I really like working for a team because you get to be something. You get to be part of something bigger than yourself. And it's fun to be one small piece of a puzzle and be able to contribute in a way with so much passion and so much energy. And I think that's what I really enjoy most about kind of broadcasting for a specific team. You've done it for so long, Jeff, and I know Brian does a great job with baseball and hockey as well. And that's what I feel most comfortable working with this women's basketball team for. Everybody's got a role. Like Bill Belichick says, you know, do your job. If you just do your job to the best of your abilities and everybody does it, then, you know, things will fall into place and work out really well. And another point I want to make is, to me, broadcasting, it's a puzzle. It's like Jeopardy. You know, we have the answer in front of us, and you have to think of the questions that the listeners, particularly on this radio forum that you were talking about here, Steve, have at home. So I'm trying to think, you know, what would they want to know when they can't be here? You know, where's the ball? Is it on the left shoulder? Is it the right shoulder? Is she using her right hand? Is she pirouetting in the lane? So all the specific things. So you get to use your mind. You get to use your imagination. You get to contribute and be part of a team and be something bigger than yourself. And you get to make relationships when you work for a team. And I think that's what I really enjoy most, too. I'm sure, you know, Jeff can say the same with wrestling, Brian with hockey and baseball, you with football and men's basketball. And the relationships you make, and when you become part of the team, you know, assistants will tell you things, and you can see things better. You can learn the game better. So we're always learning. We're always trying to get better every day. And I think that's why I like broadcasting, the aspect of being part of a team, particularly here at Penn State with this family-type atmosphere, and the puzzle every day. You're trying to navigate through traffic and learn something new.
Brian, what got you to this point? What, you know, where did that interest on your part happen when you say, you know what, I really want to try this?
Yeah, I think like Jeff and Justin said, was always interested in sports and always loved sports. And after Justin said that he was a Yankees fan, I'm surprised you let him continue on the show. But
four championships this
century. We won't bring up 2009, Steve.
Four championships this century allow you to let things pass.
I was always going to my brother's football games. He's a couple years younger than me, so I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old and watching him play midget football. And they were always on Sunday afternoons at 1 or at 3 o'clock, right when the Eagles games were on. So I was always listening to Merle Reese growing up on my little Walkman. And I just thought, wow, that's really cool. I really liked what he did. And I remember I grew up in the Lehigh Valley and going to training camp when it was at Lehigh in Bethlehem. And I was more starstruck to meet Merle Reese when I was a 12 or 13-year-old than I was the players. And I just think it was something that I was always interested in, always loved sports. And when I was looking for a school, I was looking for an opportunity where you could get on the air right away. It was never a question of what I wanted to go into. So I chose Penn State and have never left because it's just such a great place to live and a great university and great people that you have an opportunity to work with every day. So I think it's really just been never a question that I wanted to go into broadcasting. I was really lucky to find a really good home for it.
It's interesting because the first time I met Merrill was 1986 because he was the voice of St. Joe's basketball.
How about that?
Right? Yeah. Would guys like Merrill, Harry Callis really be influences on your career, Brian?
Yeah, I think just the way that they conduct themselves, not only true professionals on the air, but I know from personal experiences or reading books or reading articles about them, how they interact with people who have always grown up listening to them, that they're always willing to give some time back to people who really adore what they do. And I think the cool thing about radio, or TV for that matter, for Harry Callis in the later years, is you serve as the conduit of the event, of the sport, of the team to the fans. And in hockey, it's really neat. Eric Audio and Oscar Audio's mom was just in town from Espoo, Finland last week, and she came up to our broadcast booth just to introduce herself because their only way of listening in Finland is to follow our broadcast. The same thing happened a couple of weeks ago with Arna Talvidea. So we have an international audience for hockey, but that's really cool. And it's just a fun way to do something you love. Never want to share that you actually do get paid for it because you probably do it for free. But it really is something that I got into knowing I was passionate about it. And I think it's been even more rewarding as time's gone than I expected.
I think, Jeff, you answered it partially about who really influenced you along the way.
Yeah, I mean, no question. In terms of my passion for the sport, yeah, it comes from my dad.
But the broadcasting part, like listening to a broadcaster.
I mean, honestly, the influence, and it won't surprise you when you compare the ability to yell into the mic, but Myron Cope was really the first one that, like, captured my... I need to listen to this. What is happening that this guy is sounding like this? And I don't even know how old I was, probably 6, 7 years old, and we're out driving around and flipping through the radio. It's like, wait, what is this? And I loved listening to Cope because he understood it was entertainment. He was willing to be with it. He was kind of you know, the fan's advocate, the fan's voice, if you will, when it comes to Steelers football. And then Mike Lang, really, I did not grow up following hockey as a Pittsburgh sports fan. There was no reason to follow hockey back in the 70s. And so Mike Lang, really, that is how I learned hockey, to be honest with you, is listening to Mike Lang. No.
We got it. They got it. We scored.
And those, in terms of just the broadcast, and obviously listened to Fran Fischer and loved the passion there, and always just you had to listen to Fran if the Penn State was away, because in those days Penn State was not on TV, and so you know, those are probably the three biggest influence.
No, I'm young. Growing up in New York, there's always traffic. So my dad, who's my hero, we would stay in the car and listen to John.
Okay,
him and Susan Wallman they're hilarious.
John did a game at the Jordan Center.
Did he?
John was the voice of the Atlanta Hawks, and they played preseason games in the Jordan Center. And John was the play-by-play guy.
So. Did you get to meet him?
Oh yeah, I met John.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah. And that's the thing about John. You can hear him smile on the radio, and if you can hear somebody smile while listening on the radio, Steve, that just shows you how much fun and the passion. That's the word that Brian, that's the word that Jeff used, and you've used it too. Passion is such a key word in this industry, and I'm a big fan of John Sterling, and you know, just the word choices and the vocabulary of guys like Kevin Harlan and Ian Eagle. Every time, you can always learn. I love learning. I love listening to different people. I mean, I'm one of those broadcast nerds. I'll watch a game for the announcers, and I'm sure Jeff, Brian, and you can say the same thing. I don't really always care about what the score is of the game. You know, I need the sound on, and I want to pay attention. I'm curious to know what kind of questions are asked during this with the sideline reporter segment. That's how you learn, how you get better. And so those three, I would say, have made a big influence on me. I learned a lot from Doug Birdsong the last 5 years at
Doug's
Bucknell,
awesome.
And you'll get to interact with him on Tuesday when Penn State plays Bucknell. at the BJC, so that'll be a lot of fun. But I think if you pick everybody's brain, it's been fun to listen to Brian's broadcast. I can't wait to listen to Jeff this year at Rec Hall. So and you tomorrow against Indiana. So get a little bit of things from everybody else, and then add your own little flavor to it. I think that's how you kind of make your imprint on something special.
Brian, does it take anything for you mentally to change pace from doing hockey to baseball, or is it just so natural to you right now?
I would love to say that it was just natural, but it certainly is a little bit of an adjustment when you get to the start of the season. No. There's no doubt about it. Just the speed of the sport. In baseball, you have so much time to paint a real picture, but you also have time to tell stories and work in information about the players. In hockey, especially on radio, just trying to follow the action, follow the puck, and with the speed at which Penn State plays, it's a whole different animal. So I think it's an adjustment. I hope I make it seem like it comes natural, but there's certainly some sort of a adjustment to it.
Oh, you do. I mean, you do make it. It's as natural as could be. Nobody could tell. But I think it's always important to ask somebody like that, because I know I've had to do two different ones in a day.
Yeah.
So you got to switch from one to the other. Jeff, did you ever try anything else besides wrestling?
Yeah, the first couple of years there, I actually did some of the Lady Lions games at the Dean DeVore. Well, I did a couple with Jerry, and then Dean DeVore and I think it was two different seasons, kind of split up doing women's basketball and wrestling there. So I did some of that. I did Penn State softball, I think, for three total seasons, 2 years in a row, and then a break, and then another year.
Right.
And then we did some here and there. We would do, and I did a lot of high school sports going back to football, baseball, softball, wrestling, basketball, and did. I'm trying to think. We did. I helped out a couple of years just doing soccer. I think we did a couple of field hockey matches in the 1 year. So just kind of different things. But yeah, wrestling was definitely always the passion.
Right. And by the way, everyone, you know, of course, Brian does football too sometimes on WHVL. What about you, Justin? Other sports for you? Obviously, basketball's been terrific, but what else have you done?
Water polo, actually. I've done I play some water polo. So that's pretty interesting.
And he's not kidding, because at Bucknell,
yeah, it's a big deal.
You have to do everything.
Right. They're nationally ranked at Bucknell, so it was fun to get my feet wet, no pun intended. doing some water polo, but you know, field hockey's another interesting sport. So it's softball is kind of unique. The pace of softball, Jeff, it's so much faster than you think.
Like, yes.
You know, I know Brian was talking about the, you know, deliberate pace of baseball, but softball, because it's the same pitcher throughout the game, so you're not trying to work the count. So it's just kind of a unique philosophy when I started doing it, where baseball, you know, you're trying to dig into bad bullpens, and that's how you kind of maintain your lead or add on to your lead. But in softball, the games go by so fast. Water polo is the same way. It's quick, so it's fun to learn new rules. YouTube's a great element to learn new things, and that's pretty much how I taught myself. You learn some rules like that, and you study other people, but it's been fun.